Majority Report with Sam Cedar, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday, Tuesday, casual Tuesday, Wednesday, casual hump day, Thursday, casual Thurs, that's what we call it, and Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Friday, September 16th, 2016. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. It's Casual Friday, folks. In this exhausting era of the 2016 presidential election, 45 days to go, maybe a little more, 50. Trump showing our society has reached system overload. Here to help us analyze that system overload, Cliff Schechter will be joining us, as it is a casual Friday. Then, to give us a moment of catharsis in dealing with the system overload, to see the projection of the system overload, to get a visceral reaction to this system overload, Judy Gold will join us. Literally, I think, 45 minutes before her therapy session. Perhaps from her therapist waiting room. Oh my God. All that and more on today's program, ladies and gentlemen. We're moving into a, I don't know. Maybe we've been there the whole time, but things are just getting more and more ridiculous and bizarre. This morning, Hillary Clinton gave an address. Largely, I guess, to announce that she's back on the campaign trail. Not necessarily any new proposals rolled out. Which is not to say that she hasn't rolled out. I think she gave a major policy speech last week. Donald Trump came out with a new policy proposal earlier in this week. I think they've scrubbed it already from their website. However, 2 days ago, or a day ago, the Trump campaign sent out a fact sheet outlining specific regulations to be eliminated. I mean, this is their way of course. I mean, look, you know, Donald Trump doesn't. He's a marketer, and at the end of the day, he doesn't really have a product to sell other than the vitriol, or he doesn't really have any emotional connection to any particular product. He doesn't care. He just wants to raise his profile. So he sent out a fact sheet that I think he was either instructed to by his handlers in terms of adopting this policy position, or simply his handlers thought that this would appeal to shoring up some of his conservative base. And it addressed specifically the incredible, the jackbooted thug of government with its foot on the necks of food suppliers and growers and producers.
We got to make food unpredictable.
We've got to stop like this namby-pamby leading from behind with food. We've got to unleash the food marketplace and stop suppressing its profitability. It was talking about specific regulations to be eliminated, specifically the FDA food police, who dictate how the federal government expects farmers to produce fruits and vegetables, even dictates the nutritional content of dog food. It's crazy. Making them put the what's on the dog food they're selling, labeling it, making it like a law that you have to put what's in there on there. They govern the soil farmers use. Can't use that radioactive soil anymore. Farm and food production hygiene, like you have to keep your farm and your food production clean. Like you can't have feces in your bottling plant. They govern food packaging and food temperatures. Like you can no longer leave your chicken out there in the hot sun before you package it and wrap it up and sell it. Or after it's been packaged, you have to keep it refrigerated the whole way. And even what animals may roam in which fields and when. The FDA, quote, also greatly increased inspections of food facilities and levies new taxes to pay for this inspection overkill. Doesn't say exactly what it's overkilling. Probably bacteria, but it's not clear what they mean. I mean, this is just, we know why we have an FDA. We know it's because in the absence of the FDA, and even, frankly, not even, and the FDA doesn't stop everything. But, I mean, remember that that peanut producer? Well, some of the jars have salmonella. Send it out. We know that these businesses, I mean, we can see it every day. There's an example. Whether it's that case that Mike Papantonio is working on, C8, where DuPont specifically knew they had to incinerate this chemical that they use in making nonstick pans, easier to dump it into the river. These companies don't care. It's a bottom line question. If we get caught, I mean, A, we may not get caught. B, if we get caught, will we make billions before we have to compensate for this? Now, I know the libertarian philosophy is such that, well, if your child dies from some tainted food, you just don't buy from that company again. And then they'll go out of business.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. You killed my kid. Well, I won't be purchasing your peanut butter anymore.
And don't think I won't tell my friends not to purchase your peanut butter anymore.
But my child's life is a small price to pay for jetpacks.
I have 700 Twitter followers. All of them are going to stop buying your peanut butter, which killed my child.
That picture of my child's dead body next to your peanut butter to my 150 Instagram followers will really show you, sir.
You will probably go out of business. That is, of course, if I have the ability to prove that it's you without any regulations, we don't know where those peanuts came from.
Oh, and now Peter Thiel is funding you to sue me and to kick me out of my home.
Supreme Court justice do that?
It's called multitasking, losers.
I should also say,
a demigod.
I should also say before we take a break and go to Cliff Schechter, my tolerance now for people who are going to tell me that they don't care. I mean, that who are upset because I am maligning people who want to vote their conscience. And look, understand, if you want to vote your conscience, whatever that means, because I actually think that even those words are bullcrap. Because if your conscience is able to help enable Donald Trump to become president, then your conscience is pretty effed up. Then you're just not the type of person I even want to deal with anyways. So when you say you're voting your conscience, you're not voting your conscience. Understand that. You're voting your conscience with a built-in sort of huge amount of denial as to what you're actually doing. Now, if you do this in a non-swing state, I'm not talking about you. You want to vote that way, be my guest. If it enables, somehow enables, let's say, the Green Party to, if you're voting for Gary Johnson, then you're just a loser. But if you're if you think you're enabling the Green Party to somehow build an infrastructure so that they actually can do something meaningful, and that somehow this will spur reform within the Green Party so they do something other than just a advertisement for themselves and give somebody a tour of the country every 4 years. Like, literally, if you want them to build some type of infrastructure and you have some theory on how that's going to happen, all well and good. I don't have time to really get into the nuance of that with you. But if you're contemplating doing this in a swing state, then I think you're just a moron. And honestly, like, if that upsets you and you don't feel like you can support this program, to be honest with you, like, I don't want to go to bed every night thinking that there is a significant amount of people who listen to this program on a regular basis who think that's a good idea. That makes me feel bad about myself, honestly. Hillary Clinton is a flawed candidate from a political standpoint. Her record is, you know, mixed at best from my perspective. I have serious concerns about what she will do in regards to foreign policy. But the bottom line is one of two people are going to be president. And anybody who denies that is obviously lying or literally incapable of voting in the first place. And so your vote against somebody, you're not being a hero by not voting out of fear. You're just being a fool. Fear is a legitimate motivator. I mean, that is a legitimate reason to vote. I wish people had voted against a lot of things out of fear. Referendums, recalls, voting against other people. I wish people were much more afraid of George W. Bush in 2000. I mean, Al Gore won by 500,000 votes in terms of how many people voted. But I wish there were more. I wish people voted out of fear against Reagan. But they didn't. And so it's a perfectly legitimate motivator. All right. Oh, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Cliff Schechter. We are back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Casual Friday, although I'm not feeling so casual. I think probably for the next six Fridays, I won't be that casual. But nevertheless, we still brand it as Casual Friday, which means that we have the, is he ever casual or is he ever not casual? I'll let you decide. He's the subject of this theme song.
Cliff Schachter, Libertas LLC, New Media, Public Relations, and Strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schachter, Libertas LLC.
Cliff Schachter, how are you, buddy?
Dude, I'm exhausted.
I know.
Whoever thought when we began this journey? We began this journey together, Sam, back in a friendlier age, that when you and I were pontificating about Donald Trump becoming the Republican nominee, that he could clearly exhaust us as much as he has. I think that's actually the biggest thing about Trump that maybe the country doesn't understand. Is beyond all the damage he could do and the lying and, you know, the million things that are wrong with him. It's like if you've ever had that family member that always has to cause drama wherever they go and they just tire you out, he's going to be the most freaking exhausting president. He's not going to be president. But if he were, and he certainly has a bigger chance today than he did last week, it would just be exhausting, wouldn't it? I mean, it's just like...
Well, I mean, I think, you know, when I was thinking about what we would talk about today and talking about the sort of the media coverage of Trump and Clinton over the past couple of weeks. And look, you know, I've already prefaced this with the idea that Hillary Clinton, I think, is a very flawed candidate in many, many different ways. And I think also sort of the strategy they're pursuing is not very good. But
as do I. But just to be clear, I think she's got a lot of flaws. Although I think, we're very good at picking candidates with lots of flaws, particularly the one where they don't get along very well with the media.
Well, I mean, let's look at just what's happening with Trump, because I think what has happened, and you know, this could be some of the most meta conversation that you and I have ever had about this stuff, is that I feel the same way. I feel like just overwhelmed and exhausted. With the amount of really just, I think, disqualifying things that one could say about Donald Trump as a presidential candidate. I mean, ranging from there was that big story this week by Eichenwald, I think his name is, in Newsweek, about how compromised Donald Trump would be as a president. In fact, Hillary Clinton sent out a list of 20 questions through her Twitter account relating to that story. And it still couldn't get traction, in part because of the crap show that we saw this morning. Like for the past 3 or 4 days, and I think part of it was a function of like Chris Matthews, you know, trying to draw blood from Rudy Giuliani about the birther crap. And then that started this sort of a cascade of reporters asking Donald Trump about it and asking the campaign about it. And on one hand, it's like, yeah, there's a lot of validity to remind people that this guy became who he is in the Republican Party because of the whole birther movement. And
he looked at polls and he knew this would appeal to the craziest elements. And his, again, you know, remember we've talked in this, I feel bad because I know you. I don't want to cut you off, but I just want to relate this to a conversation you and I had a while back when Rick Perlstein wrote a piece, and we've talked about it a few times, about how related the sort of con artist market is to the current Republican Party, right? It's, you know, I can sell you a miracle cure for cancer, you know, I can stop Hillary from coming and taking your guns. I mean, it's not they're not far from each other. And that is why Trump understands his audience so well.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's been a con man his entire life, and he's known how to prey on, he instinctively knows how to prey on the stupidest and most ignorant people. He loves the uneducated, as he said, and tell them what they want to hear and say it with actual conviction while he's saying it. He's an incredible liar. and they go for it time
right.
in and time and, out.
But let me
and
add
that's
this
all
point.
He's doing.
But it's also
that was the
what's doing
thing.
It's
he knew
also,
that was it. That would get them.
Absolutely. But it's also overwhelming the media because while we go back and relitigate this question of him being a birther, like at the time, you know, nobody took it seriously enough to really make someone who avowed this stuff that toxic. Because John Boehner was sort of playing footsie with it by saying, it's not my job to tell my caucus members not to promote legislation, you know, resolutions about this stuff. So the media didn't do their job 4 years ago or 6 years ago when this stuff first cropped up. Now we're relitigating it. We cut to this press conference today, which was Donald Trump parading out actual, servicemen, vets who won awards, who were also birthers, incidentally. Like half of those right. guys have been publicly gone out and espoused birtherism too, and then spent the entire time doing this. And then at the last couple of minutes of the press conference, this is what Donald Trump said. Here it is. Let's play the last. I know it's literally like the last 30 seconds of the press conference. Total non sequitur, weird, no segue, says this.
Hillary Clinton and her campaign of 2008 started the birther controversy. I finished it. I finished it. You know what I mean. President Barack Obama was born in the United States, period. Now we all want to get back to making America strong and great again.
That's it. And so he lies that the Clinton campaign started it. He lies that he ended it, implying that he was the one who convinced Barack Obama to release his birth certificate, which, you know, frankly, I'm quite convinced that the Obama administration was just figured, all right, we've played this out for as long as we can. You know, let's move on to another thing. But regardless, but the idea that we're talking about this and that this is the sort of the media narrative as opposed to the other things. Now, look, everybody listening to the sound of our voices knows just about everything about Donald Trump that we would otherwise be talking about at this point because we've covered it. But the fact is the vast majority of Americans are just tuning into this campaign now. The media is tired of talking about the things that we've already talked about, whether it's, you know, the mafia stuff, the DOJ giving him, a consent decree multiple occasions because they wouldn't rent to black people.
Right.
Just on and on
150,000 stolen from
yes,
people in 9/11. And, I mean,
the
just,
story about his foundation. He's never given any money. He's used it as some type of pass-through.
He launders other people's
money.
I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Like, the pattern, and that's why the media even showing up today. Like, there just is a point where you can't believe them anymore because they would have to be the stupidest people alive, which I guess maybe they are, but I don't think they are. I think, again, it's just ratings, and this is a total crap show, and that's why we exist these days, because you can't tell me, it's basic IQ tests. You need to show how you learn to put patterns together. When it's a pattern that in this guy's business life, political life, and really everything he's ever done, it's a Texas two-step, you know. I'm going to provide this big thing you've never seen before. You're going to be shocked. Amazing. You're not going to believe it. Covered it too. Then he shows up and he provides absolutely nothing. He gets up, he bullshits when he's up on stage. He says a couple things that people find funny and whatever, whether it's the medical documents on Dr. Oz or it's this, which whatever. It's just like you can't believe somebody this many times unless you are just the dumbest people alive.
Well,
so
but the problem
I can't
is
believe
like,
that,
it's not even a question of it's simply our system is now built in such a way that it can't do anything but follow the spectacle. And it's just everybody's incentive structure is geared towards that spectacle. And the media, it is become. I mean, I don't know what I honestly don't know what the answer is to this. I mean, here's the amazing thing about it. Donald Trump, and I want to make this clear, Donald Trump, to the extent that the gap in the polls is closing, and we see it's closing in Ohio, it's closing and maybe he's ahead in Ohio.
Florida.
We don't know.
Florida, tied or
even in Virginia, supposedly it's closing. It is not because he is gaining any momentum. His numbers in Ohio, as he leads Hillary Clinton, are less than McCain and Romney were polling at, and they lost Ohio. And so the problem is that
That's the way it is everywhere.
Yes.
It's not that people aren't going to him.
That's right. That's right. I mean, the fact that he appeals only to the deplorables, frankly, and if you have a problem with me using that word, call in, my conservative friends and tell me why it should be.
Horribly call in, please.
But it's because the Clinton campaign, two things. One, the Clinton campaign is not running a great campaign. And two, because of the extraordinary work and sort of explosion of the scandals around it. I mean, none of this is about policy. You know, it's not like we had a full vetting of her policy during the primary. There hasn't been any major, nobody's been confronting her on policy. And as we knew this would happen, I mean, so, it's a problem. And to a certain extent, frankly, I anticipated this would be a problem. I always thought that Bernie Sanders would do better than Clinton in a direct matchup with Trump. But I think the campaign is making some big mistakes. Even to yesterday, they tweeted out, or an ABC reporter claimed that she said the first 100 days she's going to give the Republicans an opportunity to divorce themselves from Trump and be something in the Trump. But all that is doing. All that is doing is, instead of getting Republican voters to vote for her, it's just sending them to Gary Johnson. Meanwhile, she's shedding, some sort of left-leaning centrists because she's not providing anything other than Trump is horrible, and everybody knows it.
Yeah, well, I have no problem with her. I think she needs to continuously contrast herself to Donald Trump because the media hasn't done it enough. But that contrast should be policy, should be what she's willing, and not like boring, here's a point and there's a point kind of policy, but emotionally wrapped, how this is how I'm going to help people. I mean, it still to me is the basic problem that we've been having for a long time now in the Democratic Party. And frankly, I don't think Barack Obama solved that problem either. Barack Obama just happened to be a gifted communicator. And so his brand, in the end, it wasn't based on like, here are the things I'm going to do for you. Could people sit there and say, no, it was based on hope and change, which went really well with the fact that he was a terrific speaker and tapped into elements of Martin Luther King and the country wanting this sort of, reconciliation racially and that kind of thing. But the thing that I don't get, and you do another radio show with a trial lawyer, a very talented one, so maybe you have a more insight into this, it's why Democrats, and I said this before, have some of the best storytellers in the world on their side. I think of Hollywood and I think of trial lawyers, and yet cannot tell a damn story for their lives. You can't, the thing about Trump is you may hate him, many people do, but you're pretty clear on what he wants to do and why he wants to do it. You know sort of the reason for his being. In his world, the country's falling apart, the economy sucks, we've been selling ourselves out to other countries, taking care of them and not our own workers, and letting immigrants come in illegally in his terms, and that's also been underselling our workers. He's going to fix that. Whereas there isn't a story from Hillary Clinton. What's the story? I'm the person for the presidency now because, I can fix this. The reason I can fix this, and there's a great story for her to tell that's there too, about growing up as a woman in a different time and having to deal with inequality and how her life's experiences taught her that this is something that she needs to give opportunity to everybody in the way that she's had it. And just let me finish the one thought. And that this opportunity is lacking. Why? Well, because of some of the things going on economically, changing forces and inequality and pay. And there's a story there to tell. They just won't tell it.
Well, I heard Hillary Clinton's speech this morning, and she told the story of when she was, working for to help kids with disabilities, making sure they're able to have access to schools. She brought in, she talked about all the women who paved the way for her to get to where she is. I mean, the problem is not so much that she's not telling a story; it's that she's telling one. I mean. I can tell you that as
have you ever
a,
seen that in her ads? I've never seen that in her ads.
As a former writer of narrative storytelling, I can tell you that what you exclude from the story is sometimes as important as what you keep in it in terms of providing some measure of definition. And the attempt to say that Donald Trump is so different from the Republican Party that the Republican Party should join her. You have then basically said that all of the policy things that I am offering, all of the stories that I'm telling are not unique. They're shared by both political parties. There are no politics. It's just either Trump is fundamentally lacks the temperament and in some temperament, and maybe you can expand on that, to be president. And beyond that, there's no politics. And if that's the case, you're not addressing the concerns of anybody. You can issue policy statements and whatnot, but if you don't say that I'm the only one in this race and the only party that's going to actually support these things, and you can only do that by drawing a distinction between yourself and not just the other candidate, but from whence the candidate comes from, you're not telling a story. You're just throwing it all against the wall and seeing what sticks, and that's not an effective message. There's no message there because it's lost in the noise. The signal to noise ratio is just, it's confusing. The Republicans, he's extraordinary. He's not a Republican. The Republicans are, we're all on the same playing field. No, that's not true. That's not been the experience of this country for the past 25 years, 30 years, 40 years. But yet you're negating all of that which other people are trying to argue. And so you see this failure down ticket. It is, and they continue to pursue this. And
it's not just down ticket. That's the thing, is the failure is down ticket. But it's also a failure of, as you were pointing out, it's not that people go to Trump, they end up with Jill Stein or Gary Johnson. If you look at the number of people, right in a recent poll, and I've never seen this before, maybe you have, but Gary Johnson is actually taking more from Hillary than he is from Trump. I've never seen a Libertarian take more from a Democratic candidate than a Republican. And I've seen that result now in a few polls, and it's close, but it shouldn't be close. It should be like 4/5 from Trump. And again, that should tell you that you've done your job on Trump, but you haven't done your job on telling people on your story.
Yes.
I get what you're saying. I have some nuance with you. I don't disagree with you. I think I've thought for a while that there are times where if you want to give cover to some of the Republicans that are endorsing you, yes, you make a statement that Trump is terrible and he's unique, because he is unique in what he's running on. But also, you need to tie that in to the greater ideology that's been the Republican Party, to the congressional failures that people are so sick of. And that's such an easy tie-in. Look, this guy is the ideology, what he stands for in general. He's saying things, he's coming out and saying racist things that almost nobody would be willing to say on a public stage, yes. At the same time, the basic ideology he stands for is the very same thing that's tied up the House and the Senate and completely gridlocked Washington. That you can do that, and that wouldn't be that hard a thing to say. And to be on that, you'd be honest, right? The problem, of course, is that when you're not doing that on one end, you're also not while she's not doing it on one end, she's also on the other end not saying who she is. And I know what you're saying, that she maybe told her story this morning, because it seems like she's gotten that message now. The New York Times had a story on this either today or yesterday. And she's seeing that these people are going to Gary Johnson and Jill Stein, so she's getting it. I don't understand why they didn't get that 2 months ago, a year and a half ago. again, the most basic story you tell in a campaign is who you are and why that's you, and why you're better than the other person because of that, how you are the right person for the times. And we've heard it in fits and starts. I mean, she talked some about it in her convention speech. She's done some of it in other speeches, but that has not been the consistent theme to everything. You know what I mean? It has to be tied into every ad, every media appearance, the appearance by her surrogates. It needs to be repeated again and again in the same manner "I'm building a wall" has been repeated on the other side. Then it sinks in. Then people get it. And, you know, there's only 2 months. She certainly can help a lot at this point, because 2 months with a lot of money on hand to do ads, 3 debates coming up, a lot of appearances in front of people, and a lot of people just starting to pay attention. It's all fixable. It's not nearly, she can't do what she could have done if she'd started doing it a year or two ago. But it still is largely fixable. I'm hoping it seems like they're getting it, and maybe by seeing her do it in the most recent speeches, that will start to be part of it. It doesn't mean you don't also, as I said, contrast yourself to Trump. She should constantly do that, because she is making an argument in the end of, I'm the right person and he's the wrong person, and here's why. The bad guy's always part of that story.
But she has to contrast herself, it seems to me, to Paul Ryan and to the Republican Party. The way that, you know, this notion that she can shore up. I mean, you know, this is the thing you're starting to hear. It's like she's got to deal with their negatives. Now, she can't deal with her personal negatives. There is no way to deal with that. The only way to deal
well, tell your story will help deal with that. I mean,
I don't
inevitably.
Even, I think. Look,
I
look.
Think that. I think that will raise in races I've worked in before. When I've seen candidates switch over and start doing that and make themselves human, am I saying she's suddenly going to be the most popular person in the universe, or even much more popular? No. But she makes herself a little more human, and you see the unfavorables come down a little bit, and the favorables go up a little bit.
Yes. And there can be some of that, and we saw that at the Democratic convention, and we saw that it wasn't terribly durable. The only thing that can
True.
Be durable at the end of the day.
It doesn't have to be durable. She just needs to do it through election day and keep it up through then.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
I mean,
but there's not a lot of opportunity to do that, because, like I say, she had a speech today that I guarantee you no one will hear, because Donald Trump went to his hotel, paraded up a couple of birther vets, and then at the end said, I think President Obama was born in America. I mean, and that's
right.
It. And that becomes the story.
But people
for
will
days.
See digital ads. They will see ads on TV. They will see 3 debates. You know, I guess I'm not saying that she has the opportunity to do what she, again, I'm trying to be clear that this is something that needs to start with the beginning of your campaign. It's the story you tell when you first get up and announce while you're running, and you do it through the end.
But
and have everybody else reinforce it, and that can't be fixed.
The thing that can't be attacked, it seems to me, is coming out and saying, this is, I mean, put aside the person. This is what I am about. I am about drawing a distinction between these failed policies and these policies which address the needs of the American public. Like, Hillary Clinton has always done best. I mean, do you remember that first ad she put out? The first one announcing her campaign, where it was like literally just a 2-minute clip, I think it was, of Americans telling their story. And at the end, she just came out and said, you know, I'm going to address these concerns, something to that effect. And I remember everybody saying, like, this is really impressive. She needs to do that. She needs to basically say, when she starts talking about what she's going to do, it should be less about her, because the next day, Donald Trump can hit her and call her crooked Hillary. But if she puts it out there that what she is about is really secondary to her policies, in contrast to the Republican Party, because you need to make that contrast, because otherwise, if you don't, why would
right.
I go with
well,
her
no,
to do those things as opposed to
I'm
someone
just
else?
I'm saying she's only part of the story, I guess is what I'm saying. But people want to know, and people the reason why storytelling is so important, it's how we all communicate and have for a long time, is there are certain things people want filled in, and they won't believe you, as they shouldn't, if you don't tell them why. So I agree, he can call her crooked Hillary the next day, but if she has a story that makes sense and humanizes her and really gets people emotionally involved, which is, I'm, this is who I am, and because this is who I am, here are the things I'm going to do for you, then it makes it a lot harder for him to just tear her down, because the things she's going to do are still there, and people have an emotional response, and, you know, and the rest. But, you know, we haven't done this for a long time. I mean, ironically, her husband knows how to tell a good story. He may be the last Democrat that I feel like did when it came to. I mean, Obama did it somewhat, but he never did it as much. Those campaigns used to drive me crazy, too. You know, I don't understand it.
I just don't see that there's going to be a big opportunity to do that during the debates. I just think that, like, look, she's got two choices. There are two playing fields that she can play on during those debates. And one is going to be about personal attributes, and the other is going to be about broad philosophical and policy differences. And if she plays on the personal attributes thing, she'll be able to say that Donald Trump is a horrible person. But the fact of the matter is, Donald Trump's not moving. He's not going up. He's not going down. And
no, he's
and look, I can't even.
The highest I've seen him is 43%. I don't think he has. I think that's his ceiling, basically.
Well, but this is my point. That attacking Donald Trump is a waste of time, and all it basically does is, let's play this on a playing field where you can drag me down. And
right.
And I'm saying, you don't need to tell people how horrible Donald Trump is. People basically know that. What you need to do is say, I'm the only one who's going to do something for you. You don't even have to trust me. You can just see that I'm the only one who's espousing these ideas that you're going to like. And you know, that's what the appeal of Bernie Sanders was, it seems to me. It wasn't Bernie Sanders himself. You saw people, Bernie Sanders followers, to a large, you know, have no problem, you know, sort of saying, like, I don't want to like
who, yeah. Who Bernie was, though, it made it very authentic in what it was he was advocating for. Let's just put it that way.
Well, the point
but
is...
You're right. Look, I mean, there's only so much time and there's only so much you can do. You better get across to people the few things that you're going to do for them so they know. I know what she stands for. I don't know which is her, what her priorities are. I don't know what the things are that people should most expect. And there's a pretty important story to tell out there about what's going on with our economy. Because, you know, I mean, it's too late for this, too. If she'd started a year or two ago and actually talked about changes going on, you know, that are even beyond us and how she plans to handle those, I'm thinking about, you know, automation and things like that, there could have been a story there, but I think we're way too far down the road for that. And Trump would have had nothing to say about that because he's boxed in. He can't say certain things. But at this point, it needs to be, you know, here's a few things that I'm going to do and you can, you know, I've done them before, I will do them again, kind of thing. And she can even give those examples of being what she did with the CHIP program and other things, you know? So.
Yeah, I mean, well, we'll see. I mean, it's upsetting. I mean, it's upsetting to me. I mean, obviously, I still am pretty confident that she's going to win. I think that it's a lot closer than it should be.
It shouldn't even be a worry, right?
It shouldn't even be a worry. And we should be talking about, like, how many more Democrats are there going to be in the Senate than the Republicans? And,
I've gotten to a point where only two numbers matter to me anymore. And that's how much I've changed from the banner days of, we may win Arizona, you know?
Right.
At this point, it's 270 and 50. That's all I want. I want 270 electoral votes, and I want 50 U.S. senators so that we have Tim Kaine breaking a tie and in a Senate where they say, we're not going to allow you guys to hold up judges, not only the Supreme Court, but they can continue what President Obama has done, which is take the appellate courts and change them from one Democratic or let's call it progressive leading court out of 13 to 9 out of 13. Well, if she wins, we'll get much closer to 13 out of 13, not to mention all the other levels of courts and the Supreme Court. And, you know, what we need for that to get that done is 50 senators, and we need her to be president. So I've really lowered my expectations to that. Those are the two numbers I care at all about at this point.
What states are you looking at? What races, Senate races? We just got a minute here. I got to jump, but I'm just curious.
Yep.
If you were to tell people who are now beginning to sort of compulsively check polls, what would you tell them to look at?
Well, some people here may not like it, as we've gone after some people who are much more New Democrat-like, but Evan Bayh, that race is hugely important. The Republicans, the Koch brothers, they're spending a ton of money there. Luckily, he came in with lots of money and lots of name ID. He's still probably up 5 or 6 points, and I still think he'll win, but that's, if we don't win that one, we can't win. We can't take the Senate back. So you need to be checking that one. Wisconsin and Illinois should be done deals. It really comes down to Nevada, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, and Indiana. Those are your four races. We win a couple of those, we're in. We don't, we're not. I mean, that's really what it comes down to in the end. So we need them.
Cliffy, as always, a pleasure.
My pleasure.
Maybe, you know, things move quickly. Maybe next week we'll be talking about how, things have dramatically changed.
They have dramatically changed, and, you know, and we'll discuss when you're going to be vetted for Secretary of State, Sam.
I appreciate that.
One never knows.
Indeed. I don't think it's going to get that crazy, but it could. All right, Cliff Schechter.
This cycle, anything's possible, dude.
All right, let's talk later this afternoon.
Take care, yeah.
All right, bye.
Bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, there's the analysis. And now we move to the catharsis. We're going to take a quick break. Oh, we're going to play a Jimmy Reefcake song? Yeah, we'll play. What is the title of the Jimmy Reefcake song?
Getting Stoned with Chris Matthews.
Getting Stoned with Chris Matthews. Hey, folks, before you listen to Getting Stoned with Chris Matthews, and I don't know, maybe... I imagine Jimmy Reefercake is saying Getting Stoned while watching Chris Matthews, but I haven't listened to the song, so I don't know what it is. We're breaking some news here about what Chris Matthews does on his vacation time. Head up to L.L. Bean's to get some new shirts, the outlet, and then stops off at Jimmy Reefercake's. Good to do it again.
That's like it's a pictures of Melania.
No,
just get lifted.
Jimmy got cush was funnier. All right. just a reminder, this program relies on its members. My guess is we lost a half dozen during my rant about Jill Stein and in the first half of the program. So if you have the financial wherewithal to do so, please become a member today. You can get become a member just pennies a day at jointhemajorityreport.com. jointhemajorityreport.com. Quick break. When we come back, the great Judy Gold.
Getting Stoned with Chris Matthews and Joe 30 Pack. Laughing about Trump, saying he'll take our country back. Laughing about how deep down Chris wishes Donald Trump wins, because he dreams that's when his show's popularity begins. Getting Stoned with Chris Matthews is always a good time. Laughing at the hypocrisy, it'll blow your friggin' mind. I was telling Chris how I could hardly fathom the discussion of the Democrats already blaming a stolen election on the Russians, the same ones who say, how dare you suspect it was a rigged primary with hackable machines. Can't we all agree that it's getting scary? Yeah, the numbers show Bernie voters got the short end of the stick, so it's hard to blame us for thinking there might be a dirty trick. And I finally figured it out. The Russians want Trump to win, so they rigged the vote for Hillary. Getting ready to do it again. Blame it on the Russians. They knew Bernie would beat Trump. Blame it on the Russians, my friend. Look at the latest email dump. Blame it on the Russians. Just listen to Chris. He loves it. Getting stoned with Chris. Taking some fresh reefer cakes out of the oven.
Wow, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Jimmy Reefer Cakes getting high with Chris Matthews. Is that what it was? Getting stoned with Chris Matthews. And what an auspicious way to introduce our next guest.
Wait, Chris Matthews gets stoned?
Well, I think it's probably more of a metaphor.
Oh, I was enjoying that.
Well, I think actually Jimmy Reefer Cake was getting stoned, and Chris Matthews was probably just, he was watching Chris Matthews.
Was Chris Matthews spitting on the joint?
I would have to check with Jimmy Reefer Cake. Ladies and gentlemen, wait a second. You stepped all of my intro.
I'm sorry.
Ladies and gentlemen, Judy Gold.
What?
Oh, Judy.
I can't. Here's the deal. He is an addict. He's addicted to attention, good, bad. And the media is the enabler. And I can't fucking take it any fucking more. He made fun of a handicapped person. Okay? My 15-year-old is more mature than he is.
It's true.
You can hate Hillary all you want, but he is a fucking disgusting human being. Go ahead.
I don't know what to call it, the campaign event he had this morning that all the media rushed to cover?
I went to the gym and listened to NPR just to avoid it.
Well, he had a parade of vets who came up, many of whom have been public birthers in the past.
Right.
And at the end of the entire, 30 minutes of these different endorsements about how he wasn't going to lead from behind, all basically attacking Barack Obama in some fashion. He just sort of segues as, I'm going to say her name, Hillary Clinton. She was responsible. She started the whole birther thing. I ended it. You know what I mean by that. And Barack Obama was born in America. Now let's go on and, make America great again.
I hate him so much. I can't. Is there any way he can become president? Is there?
Yeah, I mean, yes. He is one of two people
who will be president. He is such an asshole. He just is like that bully on the fucking playground who just gets stupider and says, you can't even have a comeback line because he's such a fucking asshole that you can't even believe that that shit would come out of his mouth.
Judy, let me ask you this, all right? I got a clip of Donald Trump on Jimmy Fallon last night, okay? All right.
Oh, my God. Go ahead.
I want to play the clip, and then I want to get your reaction to, to this because, this is... You got a comedy show, you can get Donald Trump on. Saturday Night Live had him on. I just want to get your reaction to this. All right, here it is.
Okay.
Well, I think you'll be able to hear the audio. Are we ready?
Okay.
Donald, I want to ask you, because the next time I see you, you could be the president of the United States. I just wanted to know if there's something we could do that's just not presidential, really, or something that we can do now that we're just both civilians. Like...
like what? This is... I'm not liking the sound of this. Go ahead.
Could I mess your hair up?
Yeah, because he didn't know about it.
Yeah. I'm being gentle. So,
as long... The answer is yes, but the people in New Hampshire, where I'm going to be in about an hour from now, I hope they're going to understand.
Okay. You say yes?
Go ahead, with my hair spray.
All right, so there it is. Jimmy Fallon rubbing his hand against the surgically implanted hair on Donald Trump's head.
Right.
Well, Judy, let me ask you this, okay? I understand that you know, you get the opportunity to have Donald Trump on there. It's going to be great for ratings. Should we hold a comedian to some level of, like, standard of, like, you know, you really shouldn't normalize this guy, even though it would be helpful for you?
That is a very good question. The answer, I don't know the correct answer to that question. I know that I'm sure Donald knew that they were going to do that because, you know, you've worked on shows. They know everything that's going to happen.
Of course.
The fact that he would say yes to that, you know, is really where the problem is. The fact that, you know, they come up with this bit, hey, you're going to mess his hair up, when he's calling people rapists and he's calling women, you know, numbers, they're not a 10, he's making fun of handicapped people, he's racist. If I had a show, if you had a show, you know, I'm speechless. And Trump was like, oh, that'll be fun. And I'm going to go on Dr. Oz and talk about my health. It's an abomination. He's president. That's presidential.
But wait a second. I mean this is sort of the dilemma, right? I mean, this is why the media races down to cover this campaign event where he may or may not avow that the guy who's been president for the past almost 8 years of the country is actually an American citizen, and this is news, is because at the end of the day, this is what is going to fill the coffers. And, you know, we talk about the idea that media should be held, or news should be held to a higher standard in terms of, like, you know, they shouldn't be profit-driven, but we've all made that system, or at least to a certain extent, that's the system that has come around. And so, you know, Jimmy Fallon has, you know, Seth Meyers, for instance, my understanding is he has some very good political commentary. But Jimmy Fallon, he's doing the Tonight Show. You know, that there's a certain brand associated with the Tonight Show. You have Donald Trump on. You basically, you know, you do a bit like that. He agrees to it. It's, you know, it's Bill Clinton going on and playing the saxophone. It's not
the same as Bill playing the sax.
Well,
I was thinking that too.
It is, like, to Jimmy Fallon. It isn't necessarily to the rest of the country, but it is to Jimmy Fallon.
You know what I love? The other thing about that is that was the Rosie O'Donnell Show studio that he's sitting in. So
that who is that? That Fallon is.
Fallon is in Rosie O'Donnell's old studio.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah. And you know what? It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing that is entertainment. That we, you know, this is a serious job, you know, running the country. I can't believe this. I cannot believe that is the humor. That is, we are fucking juvenile. Can you imagine, like, Jimmy Fallon saying, oh, Abe, can I climb you? I mean, that's what it would be.
But
Jimmy Fallon climbing up Abe Lincoln.
But that doesn't mean, like, you know, listen, when Barack Obama goes on and does Between Two Ferns with Galifianakis, it doesn't bother me. And then the comedy of it doesn't bother me. It's just.
But you know that his agenda is to try, you know, he says something substantive. He is trying to reach people. He is, you know, trying to explain things. He's trying to, you know, let every American know what he's doing and that he is trying to, you know, be a public servant. You know, Hillary Clinton has been a public servant her whole life. Donald Trump has servants. That's it.
Let me ask you this. Would you have Trump on your show and not do everything you could at this juncture at this juncture to make him, I mean, basically to make him look bad. I mean, he wouldn't go on your show, Kelly just said, and with all due respect.
Yeah, and I don't even have a fucking show. Well, you know, everyone else has a fucking show.
That's also an injustice.
I mean, I have a podcast. I have a podcast. Kill Me Now.
Yes,
so
Kill Me Now, incidentally.
Came on my podcast. I would ask pointed questions.
Right. Well, I think that would make him look bad.
I mean... Right. I would ask him to answer questions and admit lies and talk about policy. But I try to be funny. Like, did you not lie? Did you not lie? But it's not funny anymore. That's the problem. He's not funny. He himself is not, he is a dangerous person. So, like, he's like, when he says something, oh, I was just kidding. It's not funny. You have to be funny to be kidding, okay? The only thing you can do comedically with this asshole is mess up his fucking disgusting hair. That's all you can do. That's the only joke on him. Because everything else is dangerous.
Yeah.
His stupid fucking haircut. Meanwhile, he's judging how everyone else looks. And by the way, Ivanka, I've seen newborns with more wrinkles than her.
How old is she? How old is Ivanka?
34.
70.
Can I just say that Seth Meyers has taken the opposite approach and has been completely eviscerating Donald Trump at every chance he can. And Donald Trump absolutely hates him. He would never appear on his show. And Jimmy Fallon wants to be, his whole show is based around doing things a little differently, and he wants it to be everybody likes him, and there's no negativity, there's no haters, and, you know, it's all for fun. But I think it's the most irresponsible and disgusting thing that he would have Trump on his show and actually make him look like a human being, because that is about making Jimmy Fallon look like, oh, hey, everybody like me, I'm for everyone. And
that's the thing.
It's
is that
terrible.
Like, I mean,
I agree.
And I understand that you know, Fallon's in a different time slot, he's doing a different type of show. But there is another option, and that is, I can't have him on and slam him. So I'm not going to have him on. I'm just going to bypass that opportunity, you know. And
you know what? And everyone knew that would be, you know, this viral video, meme, whatever the fuck they call them, meme shit. You know, everyone knew that would be, oh, did you see? Oh, that's so funny. Isn't that cute? Why isn't him making fun of a handicapped person the viral meme?
Right.
You know? Why isn't just him lying and cursing and it's sad. It's sad now that, you know, you're a comic, I'm a comic. We try to, you know, discuss subversive topics and make points and be responsible. And yet he's like, hey, he's not so bad. He's fucking horrible.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know if, like, you
it's
know.
It's like when Fat Christy ate a donut on Letterman. Let me tell you something. If Hillary Clinton was as obese if she was that fat, or any other, or Elizabeth Warren, or anyone, was as fat as Chris Christie and ate a donut on Letterman.
That's true.
That fat pig, fat. You want that running your country?
Oh yeah, no, it would. I even think it would be worse than that. If a woman who weighed that much ate a donut on TV, first of all, they would never get elected to any position in this country.
Right, right.
Never. Just not happening. And not governor, no statewide office. And then, yes, if they ate a donut on there, they would be considered like public enemy number one. Like, how irresponsible of you to do that.
Look at that woman. Right. And this fat fuck, you know, was like, blah, 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 blah. You know, Donald Trump, and oh, and then with those statues of Trump, the naked statues.
Yeah,
so that's a disgrace. But him calling women pigs and talking about their menstrual cycles and wanting to make out with his daughter and talk about how hot his daughter is, that's not disgusting. He's objectified women his entire life. And yet someone makes an object of his body, and it's a disgrace.
Right. I mean, this guy, he just sponsored. I mean, he literally has made a business out of objectifying women, right? I mean, Miss Universe and has a modeling agency and the modeling agency story is another story. I mean, I was just talking to Cliff Schechter about how sort of like there's just an overwhelming amount of stories that are, you know, that is literally overwhelming. This is a story done by, I can't remember his name, but over in Mother Jones, did a story about his modeling agency where they basically, I mean, this is like slave labor. They bring over these young models from Eastern Europe, young women, let's just call them young women from Eastern Europe, tell them they're going to model. They take a huge percentage out of their money. They put them in, you know, basically what is like sweatshop sleeping quarters, and basically you have to pay us back before we actually let you free, essentially. The idea that this guy hasn't objectified women, he's like literally commodified them.
Pointing to the modeling agency thing, although it's incredibly depraved, isn't really the best way to undermine Trump, because that things like that are common practice in the modeling industry. It's very bad for they're not even women, they're children.
Well, I mean,
because they start when they're 16.
This
is across the board. It's in other countries. It's all agencies. They abuse their talent.
Right. So, but nevertheless, those people are also despicable. And when they run for president, I'm also going to say that they objectify women. But it's just another example of like this dual standard. Like we have to maintain our decorum. We can't have an artist making a nude statue of Donald Trump.
Right. But he can say, he can use women. He can, you know, call women pigs and dogs and whatever. He tell women they're fuckable, but they should put a paper bag over their head. Look at you. You're disgusting. You're fat. You're ugly. Your eyebrows are gross. Your hair is gross. Your fucking mouth looks like an asshole. It looks like a puckered up asshole. And everything that comes out of it is shit. He has given a voice to the most unbelievably racist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, anti-Semitic people. He has given them a voice.
Yeah. And an a microphone, essentially.
Right. The people that we spent years, you know, shutting up and saying you're wrong and creating, you know, agencies and organizations and Planned Parenthood and places, safe havens for people, so they didn't have to deal that they were the outliers. They were the crazies. And now he has said, no, I hear you. I'm here for you. Meanwhile, his daughter's an Orthodox Jew. And both of his sons are married to Jews or half Jews.
Well, they'll be fine. All the more reason when they'll be protected when he's president.
That Paris Dinard, the fuck is his problem?
Who's that?
I have no idea.
He's an African-American guy who is the huge, big Trump supporter, who's the only black, you know, pundit, if you would call, who is like, all he does is say, repeat that Hillary Clinton called, used the word predators. That's his only defense. And he just talks about how Donald Trump is reaching out to the black community and Donald Trump this and Donald Trump that, and Hillary Clinton said the word predator. That's all he's so horrible. He is horrible. Look at the people who are defending him on television. Kellyanne, how bad am I allowed to curse here?
Well, go ahead. I think I feel like that ship may have sailed.
Oh, all right, Kellyanne C. All right, I'm not even saying it. I mean, it is. And what are you saying? Are you saying he didn't hear? And that Boris, he doesn't shut up. They don't let people finish speaking. He is Paul Ryan. His ship is fucking sailed. Like, look at these disgusting human beings. Party over, you know, having Putin. Oh, I can't even finish sentences anymore. I wake up, I have a pit in my stomach, I have to take more medication because of this guy. If he wins, what are we going to do?
It's, people are starting to talk about that.
Blame each other.
I mean, he kicks people who don't agree with him out of his rallies.
Yeah.
He incites violence.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad news. I mean, you know, here's the thing, is that...
I mean, when the shit he said about John McCain, how can any vet stand with him? And the Khan family, how can any vet go with this guy?
That is pretty stunning. I think you have to have a real strong amount of problems with what has been going on in terms of this country being led by a black person, and the prospect of a woman being your commander-in-chief, I think, has really got it. I mean, honestly, there is really, I mean, the idea that, I mean, can you imagine if the Democratic nominee said that about John McCain? I mean, honestly, are you kidding?
Personally, I prefer POWs don't go to jail. He's a loser. Allahu Akbar.
I mean, that person would not, I mean, that the idea that there wouldn't be, like, mass vet protests.
Right.
He basically just sat in a hotel, but that's just me.
He doesn't serve. And then if you write, if you tweet, he got out. He didn't serve in Vietnam. Neither did Hillary. Okay, great. Come back, asshole. Neither did Hillary. Duh! I mean, you don't like Hillary. Fine. You don't have to like her. Who is, it's a job. Who is the most qualified? Who understands policy? Who understands, the guy doesn't even read books. He's never read a biography of a president. The only thing he reads is stuff with his fucking name in it. And then he acts like such an asshole on Dr. Oz. Well, should I give it to him? And then Dr. fucking Oz, that's his new name, Dr. fucking Oz, says to him, well, your testosterone count is high.
He probably has himself injected with testosterone. That would be my guess.
I sure do.
It's frustrating. I mean, I don't know. I can't get over this. Even though Fallon is not in the same, and Dr. Oz are not in the same sort of category as the media, there's a continuum there in terms of what is problematic. You know, Letterman,
right.
Letterman mocked Trump about his sweatshops, you know, before he was even a presidential candidate.
Like, right.
You know, like when it was just about, like, hey, I have a microphone. I speak to a certain segment of society every night, and I have a responsibility to sort of, if I'm going to have someone like this on, to sort of contextualize them and say, like, this is who they are in this world. And, you know,
it's the lowest common denominator. You know, he'd never go on. He would never go on Colbert ever.
Oh, no way. And Colbert would never, I think, allow that, you know, allow him.
Right.
You know, would allow him to, you know, maybe he would swing and miss. You never know, but I think his intention would be to make sure that the American public had a better perspective of who this guy is rather than like he's,
right.
You know. Well, So, Judy, tell me, what are you doing? What are you doing to deal with this? I know you've upped your medication.
Okay, so
what, do you have a regiment? What are you doing?
I work out. I have to limit my watching the news.
Okay.
Because I can't believe what they cover, even if they're a network whose ideology is my ideology.
Well, MSNBC is also, you know, sort of drifting from their moorings in many respects. Do you meditate?
I do meditate. Yes, I do meditate.
Do you seriously?
What kind of meditation do you do, Judy?
Oh my God, I've been meditating for years, which no one can believe.
I was going to say, I think you're lying.
No, what kind? I'm curious. What kind?
No, I swear to God, I do mindful meditation. I do breathing meditations. I've been doing it for years and years. I teach people how to do it. I'm very good at it. I mean, but it took me a really long time. As you know, it takes
She does a fantastic job. As I know, not Sam. Sam doesn't do that stuff.
I don't do that.
Sam, it's so good for you. It clears your head.
I got a 3-year-old. When am I going to meditate? I can't even, I barely have time to go to the bathroom.
Fault. I know. You can't keep it in your pants. But
Now someone else needs more therapy.
Sorry. But, yeah, I do things, but I have never been so, I mean, it's so bad that if you say you are voting for Trump, like, I have to be done with you. Like, I can't ever respect you. You know what I mean?
Who in your life, you don't have to say the name specifically, but who in your life? Is it like parents from,
I have people who are relatives of friends. I have, okay, listen to this. One of my friends, her therapist is voting for Trump.
What?
Yeah, her therapist. So I said, how can you ever go back to that therapist again? Well, she's helping me. I know, but she's voting for Trump. Like, that is one I do not understand.
She's probably a tremendous therapist.
What kind of therapist?
Does a great job.
What kind of therapist says...
even tells you.
Yes.
A tremendous therapist who's amazing at her job and is great.
I have a feeling that that therapist is just doing it... I have a feeling that therapist is just doing it as like, an exercise.
No. She's one of the Jewy Jew.
Boo.
You know, the one, whatchamacallit. The, you know, one.
Likud? One state.
No, the one issue. That's it. Doesn't care about anything else. You know, taxes. And why the fuck doesn't he release his taxes? And no one says anything. Are you going to release the taxes? No, you have to release the taxes because he never fucking pays taxes.
This is all to help your meditation practice improve, Judy. It's all for you.
Good, isn't it good?
You could try lavender aromatherapy. I just try to.
Oh, I got the
inhale it.
I can do marijuana, but then I just can't. Then I'm not functioning.
Right.
You know.
Have you considered that for the next just like 6 weeks, maybe just to shut down?
Shut down
the next 4 years potentially.
Do you like dogs? You could be totally distracted by something that takes over your life. It's better than a baby.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good idea.
And then you just let it go after the election.
Really
no, the first 6 weeks are the worst. That's the thing.
You keep the dog for 6 weeks.
Sorry, Fido.
You keep the dog for 6 weeks, and then the day after the election, either way, you just leave the door open and you go out for a while.
That's a very Trump move.
Oh, I love animals. I know.
Get a puppy.
It's just that, you know, there are only a few people who are calling out the... Okay? Can you hear me?
Yep. I know you're
getting...
Literally, Judy is en route to therapy. Now, what happens? Like, are you in the therapist's office now?
No, I'm getting on my bike to go to therapy.
Wow. So she's within like moments. Like your therapist is like literally around the corner. Is that right?
Yeah, I have to get. I have to leave my apartment building. But
it's like getting a little taste of the Upper West Side in real time for people outside of the city. It's great.
And it's well, what's awesome about it is that like literally, like this, we are sort of laying the groundwork. Their therapy is going to be great today because we've gotten all of the sort of. The ditteris, what is that called? The out of the way.
Detritus.
I know I have a relative who's going to vote for Gary Johnson, right? Who doesn't know what a LIPO is? Okay.
Oh, got
where,
you.
Where?
Where does this person live?
Yeah.
In the great state of Arizona.
Oh boy, that's a bad news because that's actually in play for.
Right, and don't worry, his wife will. My sister-in-law, his wife, will. He'll kill me if anyone knows, but will. You know, she'll undo his vote. But the fact that now Gary Johnson, and who you can't have a fucking president named Gary Johnson, number one.
Well, he's not going to win. He's just going to perhaps enable Trump to take a couple of states.
Right. That, to me, is irresponsible.
I agree.
You know, it's at the point now where we should be like, you know, look, this is now not a joke, and your vote, hater or whatever. She's the only person. She wants the fucking job. You know, he doesn't even want the job. He just wants the title.
It's an interesting question about Gary Johnson because, you know, there's no question in my mind that Bill Weld, when he joined that ticket, thought he was hurting Donald Trump more than Hillary
right.
Clinton.
Agreed, yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, Gary Johnson, I think, is, you know, probably... doesn't have such a singular agenda, but I'm pretty sure Bill Weld did.
And what is the Electoral College?
And that's...
And what was that?
But is election?
November 10th.
Well,
got
listen,
it.
Judy, I'm going to let you ride because I know you got to get to your therapist. And...
I just want to say that, I didn't... much laughter than usually here in the background, which is fine because I'm not insecure or anything.
I think this has been about catharsis for all of us.
We're all upset.
Yeah. Judy,
everyone's
this is
upset.
It's just too real
it's
to
not
laugh.
Funny anymore.
It's just too
it's
real.
Not funny. And are we have to have a civil war or something if this fucking happens.
Well, I mean, that seems a little extreme. But
no, it doesn't.
I like it. Liberals finally getting serious. Put down the Zay bars, pick up the, and start fighting.
I'm going to Zay bars right after. Exactly. I'm getting some coffee. I'm getting a collar.
General Judy
Gold. And when we're done with that, we are going to go to war. Because
General
ridiculous.
Judy Gold. Well, Judy... Nice. We'll,
thank you, General Gold.
We'll do this. We'll do this again before the election, hopefully. And if not, we'll be in touch through Courier Pigeon after the election
and
in the event.
This is what I want to know. I know since you'll be shut down, but I also want to know if I want someone to, reveal the details of his fucking mental health. That's what I want. You know, if they're all into Hillary
I think he has, every time he speaks, frankly.
Pretty much every right. time I do anything, I'm showing you my mental health, Judy. And let me tell you something, not good.
You're an asshole, Donald.
Maybe we should just
like to pretend that you're talking to me?
It's going to get creepy soon.
You know, and it's so, you know, and you know what the sad part is? I know exactly what he'd say to me. Oh, that giant dyke. You know, like, it's just.
By the way, I love big Jewish lesbians. Aren't they the best? They're great.
Yeah. You know what, Donald? You're the reason I'm a lesbian.
Oh, well, you're the reason I'm not gay. That type of that would be reason. although you know
well,
what?
Wait, 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 wait. So, we got something.
But I think you get a little bit carried away with yourself.
You know what, though? He would never say anything to your face, Judy. That's the thing.
Oh, I know.
In your face, he would actually be like a supplicant and very nice, and then he right. would tweet at you later.
Right.
That's what he would do.
I met her.
Did you see how they changed his height so that he wasn't obese?
Oh, is that what they did?
It's average height, well, average weight for a 6'7" guy.
Well, he was 6'2", but if he's 6'2" at his weight, he's obese. If he's 6'3" at his weight, he's just overweight. So no. He's now 6'3".
No one ever called Shaq obese. I mean, I don't get it. Same height. Judy, you're hilarious. I love you. 10 minutes later, I hate her. What a loser. On Twitter.
Judy. Have a fruitful therapy session.
Thank you very much. I hope to be back. Can I come after one of the debates?
Yes.
Before the election?
Yes.
All right.
We'll talk to you soon.
Because I miss you guys.
We miss you too.
We need you.
All right.
Judy Gold, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you,
bye-bye,
Judy.
Now.
Bye. There it is, folks. Wow.
Now I almost feel like this whole other layer of anxiety about Trump winning, and it has like specifically to do with the well-being of Judy Gold.
Yes.
I mean, sitting there on election night, like the planet, future of humanity, Judy Gold.
I'm curious
man.
About the Bill Weld thing. I'm really curious about the Bill Weld thing because he, very early on, the only thing I got from those town halls listening to those two were that they considered themselves moderate Republicans. I mean, look, is there any more indication, the idea that Gary Johnson is taking equally, more or less, equally from Trump and Hillary Clinton, that the Republican Party is owned by Donald Trump? Right? I mean, is there any greater indication of just where the Republican Party is? But, of course, that's not the story. Even Hillary Clinton won't say that. And that's a mistake. It's a huge mistake, in my opinion. All right, folks. We're going to take a quick break. Head into the fun half of the program. Again, you can support this show. We're a little down today. By becoming a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. You can support this program by buying your coffee from justcoffee.coop. It's great coffee. It's fair trade. You can get organic coffee, tea or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off your purchase. Buy the Majority Report blend. What's that? I can't hear you. Go ahead. What?
I was going to say we hit 90,000 YouTube subscribers.
Oh, yesterday. So subscribe to YouTube.
Yeah.
We're at 90,000. We want to get to 100,000 in 6 weeks. Can we do it?
Yes.
Oh, all right. Let's do it then. Come on, folks. Pick up the pace. Let's do this.
That's a great YouTube channel.
Go subscribe to the YouTube channel, even if you don't. Because we get a certificate. Is that right?
A plaque.
A plaque that we're going to put on the wall.
We get a plaque. We might get some sort of additional thing for YouTube. And we all get raises.
Well, I mean, let's just not everybody get carried away. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.